Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining the show is my man. He's been a guest before. He covers the Yankees, and that's Max Goodman. What's good, Max? It's Al Cintron. How you doing?
Hey, Al. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining the show, brother. The number one story, obviously, around these parts, Aaron Judge. He heard it. He's going to 10-day IL, won't throw a ball 10 to 14 days. Are you buying this 10 to 14-day thing?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure they'll be super cautious with him. As much as they obviously need him, it would be senseless to rush him back and risk a further injury. I mean, the Yankees dodged quite a bullet today in the sense that he doesn't have a tear to his UCL, that this is going to be conceivably a short-term injury for him. So I think they'll be cautious. I think they'll make sure that he's definitely good to go before they do bring him back. But it sounds like he'll be able to start swinging pretty soon and then come back in DH within that, you know, 10-day, 2-week span.
Speaking of the DH spot, because everybody knows the Yankees have a plethora of DHs. Say Aaron Judge comes back, he's good to go, he can only DH. What the hell are they going to do?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an embarrassment of riches in the sense that Giancarlo Stanton has been swinging a hot bat of late. It's very different if he was, you know, struggling or if he was himself on the injured list, which he often is. But right now, you'd want both of those two guys in the lineup. Same thing with Ben Rice. But with Stanton specifically, it sounds like he's going to start to knock off some rust in the outfield over the next couple of days. And we haven't seen him out there in a couple of years. I think it's the end of the 2023 season.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not sure how that's going to go. He's obviously very fragile at this age. You know, he's had a lot of soft tissue, lower body type injuries. So you got to tread lightly in terms of how he's going to handle moving around out there. But, you know, he said today in the clubhouse, anything to help the team win. And I think that's the right mentality to have. But the Yankees also have three starting outfielders in Bellinger, Grisham, and Dominguez. In that sense, in the immediacy of this Judge injury, they have the starters to take those spots. You know, like, they don't desperately need to call up a Spencer Jones or Everson Pereira from AAA. They have starters in the outfield, but if you want Stanton's bat in the lineup, he's going to have to play the outfield at least until Judge is starting to throw again, and the Yankees don't know how long that's going to be.
That's a tough one for me. Giancarlo Stanton running the basement, bases is painful enough. Seeing him try to get to a ball in the gap is going to be torture.
He played a good outfield earlier in his career, and he did early on with the Yankees. It's just been a long road for him with all those IL stints, and he's really settled into just basically being a full-time DH whenever he's on the active roster these years. So I'm very curious to see how it goes. Maybe these last couple of years and healing back from, you know, the only injury he's had this year is the elbows during the regular season. I think he had a calf in spring training as well, but there's a lot of, you know, prep he's going to need to do. And then, let alone staying healthy, he's got to play a good defense too, right? And he hasn't been out there in years, so that's going to be a change for him.
So you have Stanton is looking to play the outfield, most likely going to play the outfield. My thing was, to open the show, I mentioned, you know, maybe you can catch lightning in a bottle like you did with Shane Spencer back in the day, or Kevin Moss back in the day when they went on the heater, and bring up Spencer Jones, and who knows, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle, he kills it, and then you really don't have to rush or get out of whack with your situation. Why not bring Spencer Jones up to see what he is for 2 weeks? Give him a taste.
So you would then put, you know, Grisham on the bench, have him be a fourth outfielder then in that case?
I want to see what I have. He's the future, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely curious what the Yankees would have with him, too. I mean, he's been absolutely raking in AAA and handling that adjustment from AA to there, you know, with flying colors. Maybe once the trade deadline passes and the Yankees make that final decision, okay, he's untouchable, we're not moving him, versus, you know, maybe they entertain some sort of deal in the next couple of days. He's up there with George Lombard Jr., their number one prospect, as the most valuable, you know, chess pieces in their system right now. So I know a lot of fans are clamoring to see Jones, and he's certainly, if he did get called up right now, we could both say that it's a very well-deserved promotion for him because of how well he's been playing. I just don't think the Yankees will call him up unless he's going to play every day, right? That doesn't make sense for his development if he's going to come up and play sporadically. So maybe if somebody else is moved at the deadline, or if you find out the Judge is going to miss a little bit more time, then you start to factor that in. Let's also, you know, make sure that we point out that he's been out of the lineup the last couple of days with back spasms in AAA. So he may need a couple more days before he's playing on an everyday basis with Scranton as well.
Let me, as far as Aaron Judge goes, is there a possibility that, considering that he's not going to be able to throw from the outfield most likely for a while, I know they say 10 to 14 days, they got to ramp him up, it's going to be a while. You see what happened with Bryce Harper in Philly. He went from right to first. Do you think the Yankees this offseason really, really look into it and have a talk with Judge about being the first baseman now that Goldschmidt's going to be off the roster and Bellinger's going to be a free agent as well?
Right. It's a fair question. That's something we were talking about in the press box today. But at that point, we weren't sure. We didn't get the update until after the game that he doesn't have any issues with his UCL. So if this was a Tommy John surgery situation and he was out for the rest of the year and then some, then maybe you wonder how he's going to be able to respond. And that's exactly what Harper did a couple of years ago. He went from the outfield to first. But in this case, the understanding that we got from Aaron Boone today was that once Judge goes through this two-week shutdown and then starts to ramp back up, that he can completely recover from this injury. It's not something that's going to linger moving forward. And, you know, he's not out there throwing curveballs and splitters and changeups from right field. You know, he can stick to a routine and make those throws like a normal outfielder would. But obviously, you know, Dominguez needed Tommy John, Aaron Hicks, C.D. Gregorius, like the list goes on and on. Everson Pereira just had it the other year too. So it's an anomaly for sure, but it's not that rare where an outfielder would potentially have an issue in there. So again, the Yankees dodged a real bullet here that there's no damage to put him on a, you know, in an operating room.
All right. Now the Suarez deal didn't happen. The Yankees ended up trading for Ryan McMahon. Do we know what happened in the Suarez deal? Why it fell apart? How close it was?
I think it just comes down to, one, how many teams wanted Suarez, and maybe even a little bit the fact that, and I know that, you know, McMahon isn't the perfect fit either, but Suarez really doesn't play a good third base defensively. He's also a strikeout guy. I know that McMahon is as well. Both of them have some pop, but, you know, Suarez has been hitting a lot of home runs this year. It also comes down to, Suarez is only under team control for the rest of this season, whereas you're getting two additional years with McMahon. I think they liked the team control aspect there. And they really didn't give up that much in the grand scheme of things. I wonder if the return that Arizona will get back for Suarez, whoever ends up trading for him, if it's Seattle, the Cubs, Houston, one of those contenders, maybe they end up giving up even more in a prospect package than what the Yankees had to give up for McMahon. So we'll see how the McMahon trade ages, right? I mean, do the two pitching prospects the Yankees gave up, do they turn into something? Will the Yankees regret having to give McMahon $16 million in each of the next 2 years after this one, where he's already on the other side of 30? And, you know, we saw the strikeouts today. He struck out in his first two at-bats. That's a big part of his game. I've already seen people on Twitter, you know, honking the Joey Gallo horn. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here, folks. He plays a great third base. He hits the ball really hard. Maybe he, you know, like you said, you catch lightning in a bottle here, and he plays really well in pinstripe.
Now, speaking of Suarez, you know, 2021, 171 Ks, 196 Ks the following season, 214 the next, 176 the next, and then this season, 113. The difference is, in during those seasons, 31 homers, 79 RBIs, 31, 87, 22, 96, 30, 101, 36, and 87. I would have taken that in a heartbeat over Ryan McMahon if the deal was there to be had.
But then you're dealing with a poor defender at third base with all of the shoddy defense the Yankees have been playing of late. You know, so it's a trade-off. There really wasn't a perfect option for them out there. And I think the Yankees were prioritizing the defense. Mm. getting somebody that they can now count on that he'll be in this picture for the next couple of years as well, like not having to deal with addressing that position this offseason now. And, you know, they're taking a chance. I mean, will it end up working out? We'll see. But they got ahead of it a little bit, and they fixed a weakness where, gosh, anything would have been an upgrade offensively than what Oswald Peraza and, and Yorbit Bibas were doing over there. So, of course, they would have loved to bring in the best bat on the market, but in this case, they're banking on McMahon turning into something.
I know the trade deadline's still a couple of days away. Was there any consideration of keeping Jazz at third and going to get a second baseman instead of going this route?
I don't think they would have bounced back and forth again with Jazz. I mean, Chisholm is just much better at second. I think that's the best fit for him. And like I said, he's already been bouncing back and forth. I think that he made it clear that he prefers second deep down, and I think the Yankees realized that as much as he's impressed at third and you know, him putting the team first to be willing to go back and forth when other players around the league don't always do that, that says a lot about him and, you know, prioritizing a ring over what position he's playing. But, you know, I think the best possible scenario, and I say this with the caveat that Anthony Volpe has been nothing like what he has been in recent years defensively, but the best double play option for them is Volpe and Jazz up the middle.
Speaking with Max Goodman, he covers the Yankees for the NJ.com and the Star Ledger. What would it take for the Yankees to be sellers at the deadline? If they lose out up into the trade deadline, would that be it?
Oh, man. I know a lot of fans are you know, wanting this kind of outcome. I don't know if they'd be able to stomach what that would look like and what they'd be signing up for. Because even if you... And I don't think the Yankees are going to stand pat either. I think they're going to make some more moves. I mean, they have so many holes in their pitching staff between the injuries and a couple underperformers that they need to upgrade on the pitching side, and that's their priority right now. But to go out there and sell, I mean, maybe if it was a season-ending injury for Judge and it was reminiscent of 2023 when they really didn't do that much at the deadline and then kind of embraced their, you know, inevitable demise and not making the playoffs. But in this case, they're a better team than they were in 2023. You know, I know it's hard to believe, but they...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It maybe could have even made the playoffs if, let's say, Judge was out for the rest of the year. Maybe the offense plays well enough and you make a couple deals to get the pitching staff to be better. I mean, that's kind of the vibe around the league nowadays, you know, where there's three wild card spots in each league. The Diamondbacks a couple of years ago snuck into the playoffs and made it to the World Series. I know that's not necessarily a Yankee-like approach, but the Blue Jays are unconscious right now with how well they're playing over these last several months. And the Yankees have been playing extremely poorly, and they're still very much in the hunt here. So I'm not saying that they should go one way or the other. I just believe that they're going to, you know, improve this pitching staff, bring in some guys, and hope that the reinforcements arrive from the IL soon enough to go on a run and get hot at the right time.
I know they got Cruz, Leiter Jr., and Yarbrough coming back, so the reinforcements are on the way. Now, if the Yankees don't make the playoffs this year, a complete collapse. Boone and Cashman, are they back? One back or both gone?
I had a feeling this question was coming out. You know, my thinking with this is if those folks didn't get fired after 2023 when the Yankees didn't make the playoffs, and that was very much a flawed roster, and everything went awry that year, and then you lose Judge, and it all, you know, unravels from there. I'm not sure if now missing the playoffs would be enough for that to happen, but look, there need to be some serious changes made in terms of the fundamentals and the fact that every summer there's a swoon that this team goes through. You know, there need to be some answers to these questions that continue to pop up every single year for a team that has championship expectations, one of the highest payrolls in the league, and they haven't won since 2009, right? I mean, if that's the standard that you're setting as an organization, then it's unacceptable to not win for this many years in a row. Now, granted, they do make the playoffs almost every single year, so to suddenly miss in 23 and 25, then maybe heads will start to roll. But I still think they're going to be a playoff team here, especially with the fact that the Judge is not out for the rest of the season.
All right, last one. I'm going to put two questions together. Realistic trade options for the Yankees, pieces that you think they would give up to upgrade the roster, and what's the number one trade deadline move for the Yanks they need to make?
Oh, that's a big one. We could have the whole call based off of just
there we
that
go.
Let's see. Okay, I think that the McMahon trade was maybe a peek into how the Yankees can approach this deadline in terms of what they gave up. You know, they traded two high A pitching prospects, and the Yankees have this tendency to replenish that part of their system. They have a lot of young, talented pitchers. Maybe some that the big league fan and Yankees fans out there listening to this might not know these names, but they're very, you know, highly rated and viewed as possible future big leaguers by other teams. So, you know, do they dip into that part of their roster as possible trade chips? Probably. I also think that using some of those Rule 5 eligible prospects, the folks that they would need to put on their 40-man roster by the end of this year to protect from the Rule 5 draft in the coming off season, there's a slew of big names on that list, Spencer Jones being one of them. That's not me saying that Jones will get traded. I think they hold on to him with how well he's been playing, but that's a part of their farm system they could use. And in terms of what they need to go out and get, it's really simple to me. It's at least two relievers and preferably high leverage guys. And then if you can bring in a frontline starter as well, you've got Luis Gil coming back basically imminently. I think he's going to do one more rehab start in the minors, but can you trust that Gil's going to be able to be your true number three in the playoffs behind Fried and Rodon, or splitting the two of them? Maybe you want to go lefty, righty, lefty. Mm. You could bring in another, you know, ace ceiling, but just a proven commodity that's having a good year, or that, you know, can come into the Yankees pitching department and excel. That would then take the pressure off of Gil, and maybe you have him in some sort of swing role where he could come out of the bullpen of the playoffs, or he's your fourth starter. It just lengthens the rotation. So specifically, God, there's so many different names out there. Uh-huh. What I have been thinking of is, maybe you try to go out and get a young closer, in the sense that Devin Williams and Luke Weaver are both free agents at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. If you could bring in some controllable young arm like Duran from the Twins, even Mason Miller from the A's, like, I don't know what it's going to take to get those kinds of pieces, because those teams they're not desperate to get rid of them. But maybe this is the time, considering they don't have a clear-cut closer, you know, internally for next year and beyond. You go out and you wow one of those teams, and you use one of your young, talented pieces like, say, Ben Rice or Spencer Jones or even a Jason Dominguez. You know, those are hard decisions to make, but that's just such a glaring hole with the way their roster is constructed for years to come.
Max, I appreciate the time. Good stuff as always. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.